ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्भुतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् योगयुक्तो विशुद्धात्मा विचितात्मा जितेन्द्रियः सर्वभूतात्मभूतात्मा कुर्वन्नपि न लिप्यते नैव किञ्चित् करोमीति युक्तो मन्येत तत्त्ववित् पश्यन् शृण्वन् स्पृशन् जिघ्रन्नश्नन् गच्छन् स्वपन् श्वशन् प्रलपन् विसृजन् गृह्णन् उन्मिषन् निमिषन्नपि इन्द्रियाणि इन्द्रियार्थेषु वर्तन्त इति धारयन् हविङ्ग् एन्युमरेटेड् दट् देर् आर् टु टैप्स् आफ् लैफ् स्टैल् नेम्लि गृहस्थाश्रम अण्ड् सन्न्यासाश्रम बोत् आफ् देम् आर् ईक्वलि एफिकेशियस् फार् स्पिरिचुवल् ग्रोत् अकार्डिङ्ग् टु दि पर्सन्स् मेच्युरिटि one can choose any one of them. Bhagavan now is explaining the necessity of karma yoga as a spiritual practice, a must for any person, whether he is a grahastha or a sannyasi. So he is explaining what are all the stages a spiritual seeker goes through. Initially, from karmi, he will become a karma yogi, he will become yoga yuktaha. Because of karma yoga, he will become vishuddhatma. Then, the second stage is, he will become jitendriyaha and vijitatma. And finally, he will become a jnani. Because of that jnanam, that I am ever akarta, I don't do any action, he is free from all types of results of the action, even when he is intensely active. So he will tell, naiva kinchit karomi, I don't do any action, whatever action happened to be seen by the onlooker is done by indriyani indriyartheshu vartante, is done by indriyar. Now Bhagavan continues about the necessity of karma yoga. Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tektva karoti yaha lipyate nasapapena padmapatrami vambhasa. Until a person discovers his own infinite nature, his own higher self, he should be a karma yogi, he should be a devotee. Because a devotee alone can be a karma yogi. Without a place for Ishvara, there is no possibility of karma yoga at all. Because the very definition of karma yoga is Ishvarapana buddhya karma kuru, prasada buddhya karma phalam svikuru. With Ishvarapana buddhi, with the attitude of worship, a person does all his swadharma, his own activities, his own duties. And when he receives the results of his duties, he receives them as the prasada from the Lord. So until a person discovers his own higher nature, he should be a karma yogi. Through karma yoga, a person grows from world dependence to God dependence. Generally, we don't depend upon God, even though we daily pray tanu manu dhanu sabu kuchu tera, but still we don't depend upon God for our day-to-day life. We depend upon bank balance, we depend upon people, assets and employment. That dependency will go if a person converts himself as a karma yogi and he will train his mind to depend upon the God. Because of this God dependence, he will get purity of mind and he will get Guru Prapti. Then Jnanam also he will get. He will go through that Jnana Yoga. Then through Jnana Yoga, a person grows from God dependence to self dependence. Because as long as God is a second entity different from individual, he is a cause of sorrow. Vidyadvai bhayam bhavati, whatever it may be, whether it is world or God, if it is different from me, it will be the cause of my samsara or bhaya. Therefore Bhagavan here he describes, convert yourself Arjuna from world dependence to God dependence through karma yoga. Yaha karmani brahmani adhaya sangam tektva karoti. Yaha karmani karoti, first stage, one who does his duties. Because many people are not even ready to perform their duties. Even to perform their duties, they want extra. Mamul, they call it. Extra thing. If you go to government offices and other places, it is their duty to perform whatever the need of the citizen. But still, addition to their payment or salary, still they want something extra. So first thing is, karmani yaha karoti. Very difficult for a lazy person to do his own duties, is very difficult, and for a whimsical person also it is difficult for him to perform his own duties. Yaha karmani karoti, how he does his karma duties, as an offering brahmani adhaya, as an offering to the Lord, and sangam tektva, having given up the concern for result. These are two conditions for karma yoga. One is Ishvara Arpanam, Brahmani Adhaya means Ishvare Arpitva, then Sangam Tektva, having given up the concern for result. Shankaracharya goes one step more, Mokshe Api Sangam Tektva. Even with regard to Moksha also, one should not have concern. We don't have now. For a serious spiritual seeker, the moksha concern is too much. Will I get moksha? Will I get moksha? Even that also will be an obstacle in gaining moksha. Why? Because moksha described in the Upanishad is not a thing going to be gained in future. It is your own swarupa. Therefore, there is no question of having concern for that. Because your swarupa is always with you. Therefore, there is no need for having concern for moksha also. Sangam tektva, with regard to all other worldly results, having given up concern for worldly results, if a person karoti karmani, if a person does karma, his own duties, saha papena na lipyate. Karmani here Bhagavan says, not all types of actions one can do. Everybody can do only prescribed duties. Prescribed by what? Prescribed by his own life status, prescribed by the Veda or the scriptures, that alone he can do it. So all are not allowed to do all types of actions. The actions belong to military man, we cannot do it. If we do it, we will be punished. So all types of actions cannot be done. Actions prescribed by your life situation, society and by the scriptures, that alone should be done. And it becomes our swadharma or our own personal duties. That duties also should be done as an offering to the Lord. If it is done as an offering to the Lord without any concern for the worldly results, saha papena nalipyate, he is not at all affected by adverse results. Here papa means dukkam. There is no dukkam or adverse results for a karma yogi, because while performing itself, he has offered that action to the Lord. And he is interested only in only one result, that is what? Chitta Shuddhi or spiritual growth. So he is not attached towards his external results. Therefore, whether it is desired result externally or undesired result externally, he is not going to be perturbed by that. He doesn't have any anxiety. And he cannot avoid getting result also. Any action will produce result. And as long as a person is a karta,
he has to reap the result even if he is not interested in reaping that result. But here the idea is, he is not perturbed by the result. It is impossible for any individual to do actions which will produce only desired results. So everybody wants desired results only. Everybody starts any pursuit for the sake of sukham. Sukham is the desired result, and I cannot do any action keeping dukkham as the end. Correct? Na mandopi pravartate. Even an idiot will not do something if he finds that that action will produce dukkham for him. He will not do it. But here, when dukkham, even if it is not desired, when it comes to you, the person, if he is a karma yogi, then he is not perturbed. An individual being alpajnaha and alpashaktiman, and karma phalam is inevitable and unpredictable, he cannot avoid getting adverse results. But if he is a karma yogi, he gets a cushion, he gets a shock absorber because of the attitude that Bhagavan can never be an unjust. His justice is always perfect. What I deserve, I will certainly get it, may not be what I desire. What I desire, I may not get, but what I deserve, I will certainly get. So therefore, he accepts all types of result as Ishvara Prasada. And his mind is always behind getting Chitta Shuddhi. Whether external result is positive or negative, whether it is desired or undesired result, external result, Chitta Shuddhi is guaranteed because of the attitude. That Samatvam, which is born out of this Prasada Buddhi, is a sign that he is not affected by that dukkham. How can we say that a person is not affected by dukkham? He will not be perturbed by that. He will be a samavan. Because of samatvam, how we know that there is samatvam in his mind? Shanti will be there. Externally, a person can pretend that he is not perturbed, but internally there will be lot of perturbance. So shanti is the indicator of the samatvam, and that samatvam is always because of this prasada buddhi. If our religious practices, if our swadharma don't help us in finding this relative shanti, then they are useless. There are many people who go to temple and then get anger and come back to home. Because in temple something might have happened, somebody might not have respected as he has expected, so they would not have given that respect, so he will get anger and he will come back to home. So all our spiritual practices or religious practices or even duties, day-to-day duties, should help in finding this relative shantihi. Shantihinaha tapah palam vritha. If that tapas, whatever spiritual practice done by us, if it is not helping us to gain this relative shanti, then it is useless. But karma yoga attitude guarantees this relative shanti. Actions and their results will not affect adversely a karma yogi. How it will not affect a karma yogi? Bhagavan gives an example like Padma Patram Ambhasa Iva. Just as a lotus leaf is not wet by the water, even though it is always associated with the water, lotus leaf cannot avoid being with the water. In spite of constantly associated and intimately associated with the water, still lotus leaf doesn't get wet. Similarly, karma yogi or a grahastha cannot avoid duties. Any transaction based on relationship. So a person, as long as he is related to the society in various forms, he cannot avoid duties. But if he is a karma yogi, he is not affected by those duties, those papa phalam. Even though he is intimately associated with the duties and people, he is not affected by that transaction. But his actions will produce one punya phalam, namely chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi is guaranteed. Just because I don't want any phalam, that doesn't mean that I will not get any phalam. If I don't want any phalam, I will get chitta shuddhi. And Chitta Shuddhi is not considered as karma phalam generally in the scripture, but that is a phalam, karma phalam only. Bhagavan continues.
Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi yoginah karma kurvanti sangam tektvatma shuddhaye.
Here Bhagavan says, karma yoga does not mean doing a particular type of action. Doing a particular type of action through a particular type of instrument of action, but it is an attitude entertained in and through all types of actions. Karma yoga can be in any form of action. Yoginaha kayena manasa buddhya indriyaihi api karma kurvanti. Kayena karma kurvanti. That kayikam karma is extremely important, because generally human being is a lazy man, and in Hinduism it is very nice to be lazy also, even with regard to spiritual practices. Suppose somebody asks, why don't you go to temple and worship, and you quote a shloka, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrudeshe arjuna tishtati, because Bhagavan is not only in temple, he is in every person's mind, therefore I need not go to temple. So there are convenient arguments are there to be lazy, but Shastra says even to keep your health, physical health, you should be active physically, kayena. Then manasa, manasa means manasa japa, upasana, all this meditation, all those things are manasa karma. Then buddhya, shastra shravanam, shastra patanam, all those things are buddhya karma kurvanti. And indriyaihi, indriyaihi means vacha, vak indriyaihi and other indriyas. So all types of actions yoginaha kurvanti, perform their duties through body, mind, intellect and sense organs. With what attitude? Kevalaihi. Kevalaihi here means, Shankaracharya writes, mamatva buddhi varjitaihi, mamatva buddhi shunyaihi. There is a mamatva buddhi in every action of an individual. You ask a boy, why you go for education? I want degree, I want particular certificate therefore. So every action is for the sake of my sake. It is not for others' sake. But here Bhagavan says, karma yoga means it is not for your sake, it is for Ishvara's sake. Ishvaraya eva karma karomi na mama phalaya iti. Then the question comes, why should I perform my duties for the sake of Ishvara? That means Ishvara is in need of my duties. Correct? Ishvara is waiting for performance of my duties. Ishvara is waiting for my worship. Ishvara is waiting for my service. Here Bhagavan says, no, Ishvara is not waiting for your service. When it is told kevalaihi Ishvara arpanaya, it is for atma shuddhaye. God is not in need of our performance of duties. God is in not need of our to banana or coconut or puja or anything. All of those things are done for the sake of atma shuddhaye. Atma shuddhi means here what? Chitta shuddhaye, antakarana shuddhaye, for the sake of purification of the mind. And purification of the mind means being free from the spell or slavery of our own wings and fancies. Raga dvesha varjanaya. Here atma shuddhaye, atma word is there. Atma does not mean here Sachidananda atma. Why? Sachidananda atma need not be purified. It is always nitya shuddha mukta swabhavaha. Atma shuddhaye karma kurvanti means chitta shuddhaye, for the sake of purity of mind. Yoginaha karma kurvanti. How they do this karma? Sangam tektva karma kurvanti, without concern for worldly riches. But there is a concern for spiritual growth. There is a concern for chitta shuddhi. Concern for spiritual growth or chitta shuddhi is not considered as dukkha karanam in the scriptures. It is not considered as a desire at all. Desire for moksha is not considered as desire. Concerns for spiritual growth will remove all other concerns. A person should have concern for this. Concern not for moksha, but for chitta shuddhi. In the previous shloka, Shankaracharya wrote, Sangam tektva means what? Mokshaihi api sangam tektva. Because it is our swarupam, we need not have concern for attaining it. Here, chitta shuddhi is not our swarupam. Chitta shuddhi has to be attained by doing something. Therefore, having chitta shuddhi as a goal, yoginaha karma kurvanti. The message is, all the religious activities and the performance of one's own duties can give chitta shuddhi only. It can give chitta shuddhi only. And that too, if it is offered to Lord, then only it will give chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi is the result of karma yoga. Karma yoga can never give moksham or atma jnanam. Like neo Vedantists, there are some people who interpret these shlokas in a wrong way because of ignorance about the Upanishadic teaching. Go on, perform karma yoga as an independent sadhana, then one day atma jnanam will have flash, will flash in your mind, and then you will have moksha like that. Those arguments don't have any validity, any shastra pramana. Chitta shuddhi is the result of karma yoga. Karma yoga can never give atma jnanam directly. Religious life and prayerful attitude can solve certain problems, but certainly not all the problems. If a person wants to get away from death, suppose he goes on prays, what will happen? Praying, he will die, that's all. He cannot solve that problem called death. So, prayerful life or religious life cannot guarantee freedom from samsara, cannot guarantee freedom from punarjanma. But it will give a cushion, a shock absorber, and a karma yogi's mind will be with less sorrow, with less FIR. The sorrow is there in every mind. In Chandogya Upanishad, our Narada Bhagavan comes to Sanat Kumara telling that Tarati Shokam Atma Vite Iti. I have a lot of sorrow. I heard that Atma Vite Eva Shokam Tarati Iti. I heard, therefore, please teach me. But even though he is an ignorant person, if he is a karma yogi, his mind will be with less sorrow, or that frequency, intensity, and repetition. Timings, FIR we call, Vedantic FIR it is called. Frequency of sorrow, intensity of sorrow, and repetition of that gap between one sorrow to another sorrow. If he is an ordinary person, in one day itself, at least 100 times you will get sorrow. Sorrow in the form of not only crying, anxiety, jealous, these are all sorrow, various forms of sorrow, dukkha only. Karma yogi cannot avoid sorrow completely, cannot avoid dukkham completely, cannot avoid samsara completely, but he can avoid the intensity and frequency of dukkham. If karma yoga can make a person completely free from sorrow, then there is no need for atma jnanam at all. So there is no need for Vedanta Shastram at all. There is no need for knowing the atma tattvam at all. The very fact that Veda reveals after instructing humanity to do various types of religious practices, the very fact Veda reveals Atma Tattvam at the end shows that all these religious practices are meant for preparing oneself to getting Atma Jnanam. So we should know the benefit of Karma Yoga and at the same time limitation of Karma Yoga. It is a means, it can never be an end. The benefit is what? As told, Chitta Shuddhi. Jnana Yogyata, we call it. Because of performance of duties, a person will get lot of beatings. He will be an alert person to learn lessons from the world. Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha. So, na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha is possible. Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha means what? Money or wealth cannot satisfy me. How this knowledge will come unless a person is intensely active in the pursuit of
wealth, then only he will come to know, he will gain money, he will gain the wealth, then only he will come to know that navitene tarpaniyo manushyaha. Then another lesson you will get, api sarvam jivitam alpameva, whatever may be the life, greatness of life, individual life, it is alpameva, because highest lifestyle is what? Brahmaji's lifestyle. His days also are counted. 8-year-old boy, Nachiketa says in the Kathopanishad, even Brahmaji's days are counted. He will be replaced by another Brahma. Indra's place will be replaced by another Indra. Like that, api sarvam jivitam alpameva. So that is the sign of maturity, chitta shuddhi, purity. What is the limitation of karma yoga? It cannot make oneself as absolutely free. That's what in Vivek Chudamani, Shankaracharya says, Chittasya Shuddhaye Karma Natu Vastu Upalabdhaye. It is meant for gaining purity, not for gaining Atma Jnanam. Though Karma Yoga cannot give moksha, but still it is an important means, an indirect means for moksha. I hope you remember that entire stages. By karma yoga, a person gets purity. Because of purity, his viveka shakti increases. Because of viveka shakti, vairagyam increases. Because of vairagyam, he tries to get the absolute thing, if it is there. His idea is what? Nasti akritaha kritene. Then goes in search of that permanent thing. By knowledge, he understands that that permanent thing is myself, none other than the myself. That is the entire cycle. So therefore, no one can bypass karma yoga. No one can bypass Ishvara. Anyhow, I am going to find out, I am the entire infinite entity. That is the necessity of worshipping the Lord. You cannot bypass the Lord. You cannot bypass the practice of spiritual practices. You cannot bypass prayers, japa and meditation. And you cannot bypass following values in life. Therefore, Arjuna, since you don't have that yogyata, jnana yogyata, sadhana chaturchaya sampatti in adequate measures, follow karma yoga and get yogyata for jnanam. Bhagavan continues.
Yuktaha karma phalam tektva shantim apnoti naishtikim ayuktah kamakarene phale sakto nivadyate.
In this shloka, Bhagavan compares and contrasts between a karma yogi and a karmi, worldly person. The difference between a karma yogi, spiritual seeker, and a worldly person is explained in this shloka.
Yuktaha karma phalam tektva naishtikim shantim apnoti.
Yuktaha means here karma yogi. These are all very, very confusing shlokas. Without bhashyam, if you study, and if you study in the English translation, you will find lot of contradicting statements from one shloka to another shloka. This word yuktaha or yogi or yoga, these are all very confused words. You can have plenty of meanings according to the context only. It should be taken, meaning should be taken. In this context, yuktaha means karma yogi, karma phalam tektva naishtikim shantim apnoti. Karma phalam tektva means having given up the results of karma, he attains moksha. How a person gives up karma phalam? Because whether a person wants or not, karma gives phalam. How can you give up karma phalam? Just because you say, I don't want karma phalam. I don't want karma phalam of doing a karma called eating a chilli. So you eat a chilli. It is a karma. And while eating itself, you say, I don't want karma phalam of this action. Will you be free from this karma phalam? While eating itself, phalam will start. Then after going inside, it will start. And then while coming out also, it will show you did that karma, this is the phalam. You did that karma, this is the phalam. So how can you give up karma phalam? In Shastra, in the Upanishads, there are two methods of giving up karma phalam. One is a relative method, and that is karma yoga method. Why it is relative method? It is by attitude. Because it is by attitude he gives up the karma phalam. What type of karma phalam he gives up? There are two types of phalam for any action. One is drishta phalam, another is adrishta phalam. Seen tangible result, one is. Another one is intangible result. So every action has a tangible result by sense organs or by mind we can know its presence. Like taking chili and getting burning sensation in the stomach is a tangible result. But the same action will give intangible result, adrishta phalam also, punya or papam. So a karma yogi gives up tangible results. Worldly results he doesn't want. And with regard to adrishta phalam also, swarga prapti is adrishta phalam. We cannot see that you have done a particular ritual, therefore you will be given a certificate, whomsoever it may concern, that so and so person has conducted the Ashwamedha Yaga successfully or done Sahasra Stava Yaga. So he will be allowed to get seat in the Swarga. You won't get any certificate while living here. So it is Nitya Aparoksham. Even after going there also, you will not remember that you did so and so Yaga, therefore you got it. So it is Nitya Aparoksham. Therefore it is called Adrishta Phalam, which is Punyam. Which is Punyam. Punyam you cannot see. He gives up that Punya Phalam in the form of Swarga Prapti or Sukha Hetu. Everybody wants to go to Swarga or Heaven. Why? Not to get beatings from Yamadharma Raja, but to have a ticket for dance program or music program of celestial people. Suppose if Swarga itself is a place of Dukkham, then nobody will desire to go. So he gives up the desire for Punyam also. Which Punyam? By which a person may get that Sukham in future. So Karma Yogi relatively does Tyaga of Drishta Phalam, tangible worldly results, and Tyaga of Swarga Prapti, Adrishta Phalam. But he does not give up the desire for Chitta Shuddhi. Karma Yogi doesn't give up the desire for Chitta Shuddhi. And desire for Guru Prapti he doesn't give up. Therefore, his renunciation is what? Only partial renunciation or relative renunciation attained by Karma Yoga. Then there is absolute renunciation, absolute karma phala tyagaha, and that is attained through Atma Jnanam, that I am not a finite individual to do any action. I am akarta, I am infinite. Being infinite, I cannot have any movement at all. Then where is the question of performing an action? With this knowledge, he gives up all types of karma phalam. So karma yogene apeksha karma phala tyagene apeksha shantihi. If the renunciation is relative, shanti also is relative. And karma yoga being relative tyaga, so his shanti also will be a relative one. Whereas atma jnanam being kartrutva tyaga, the very doership itself is given up, so it gives naishtikim shanti. So jnanam only gives naishtikim shanti, but here Bhagavan says yuktaha karma yogi naishtikim shanti maapnoti. He seems to be contradicting. All these explanations why I have given, to find out a hole in the statement of Bhagavan. What is statement of Bhagavan? Karma yogi attains moksha. But karma yogi can never attain moksha. That is the teaching of Upanishad. He can never attain a moksha unless he gains atma jnanam. But here Bhagavan says karma yogi attains moksha. So how can Bhagavan contradict Upanishad? Because even Bhagavan cannot contradict Upanishad. That is the status of Veda or Upanishad Shruti. So Shankaracharya comes to our rescue. He says, Sattva Shuddhi Jnana Prapti Sarvakarma Sanyasa Jnana Nishta Kramena Iti Vakya Sheshaha. We should understand in such a way that Karma Yogi initially attains Sattva Shuddhi, then qualifies himself for jnanam, then gets guru, then gets jnanam, and then moksha by knowledge. So this understanding is possible only if we have an Upanishadic background. Because Gita cannot contradict Upanishad. Gita is Smriti Shastram. Shruti Reva Gharyasi. It is a secondary source of information. But Shruti is primary source of information. That is primary source of knowledge. So we should understand whenever this type of seeming contradiction happens in the Smriti Shastram. Like if you read Puranas, they will explain that any person who dies in Kashi will get moksha. It's a very popular understanding. Or any person who dies during Uttarayana Kala. Uttarayana Kala means what? 6 months. So any person who dies in Uttarayana Kala will get moksha. These are all very popular beliefs, but they don't have any Shruti Pramanam. If a person who dies in Kashi, suppose he gets moksha, what type of moksha? From this body to another body, he gets a good body, good birth. That's all. That is the meaning. Because moksha cannot be attained. That should be repeatedly told to our mind. All our struggle to get moksha is because of what? Because of attitude that it should be attained. Moksha can never be attained. Why? Shastra asks, do you want that moksha to be a permanent one or temporary one? We will say, permanently only I want moksha. Because temporary moksha I have already. I am free from my wife temporarily at least for 6 hours. Free from my children at least for 7 hours or 8 hours while in the office. Free from my employer at least 8 hours when I am in house. So I am temporarily free. Temporary freedom I don't want at all. Because in temporary freedom there is no purpose. I want freedom permanently only. Then Shastra asks a question, a logical question. If anything you want as permanent, it should be now. It should be here. So how can you attain it? How can you struggle to attain it? The very struggle is because of what? Because of denial of the thing which is already there. So moksha can never be attained. Moksha is our nitya swarupam, our own real individuality, real nature. And karma phala means what? It is time bounded. It is time bounded. Chitta shuddhi also is time bounded. Before doing karma yoga, the person does not have chitta shuddhi. After only he gets chitta shuddhi. Therefore that also is time bounded. So karma phalasya anityatvat, mokshasya nityatvat, mokshaha na karma phalam bhavati. Karma phalam can be highest, like getting Brahmaji's post. But that also is time bounded. And karma phalam will have taratamyam. Taratamyam means what? Gradation. That's what? In the same heaven, one fellow is Indra, another fellow is sweeper. There also sweeper class is there. So naturally, Indra will get free ticket for music party or dance party, but sweeper will not get. Naturally, after going to heaven also, the sweeper will have samsara or what? He will certainly have. He will have comparison. Wherever gradation is there, comparison will be there. And gradation is always because of gradation while performing action. All the students does an action called study. But marks are not same. One gets 100, another gets 30, another gets 0. Why? Because while performing that action, there is a gradation in the intensity of the action, in the intention of the action, in the method of implementation of that action. So lot of gradations are there while performing action. Similarly, result also will have gradations. And if there is a gradation, there will be comparison. If there is a comparison, there will be ottakichu. Jealousy will be there, hatred will be there, at least depression will be there. I also did Ashwamedha Yaga. This fellow also might have done Ashwamedha Yaga. Because I cannot say who has done Ashwamedha Yaga. So he also might have done Ashwamedha Yaga. But he got Indra post and I got sweeper So in our Shastric tradition, there is a story regarding this gradation. There was a Ramayan Pandit. So he used to chant Ramayana. Ramayana Navaha, they call it 9 days. He used to explain nicely. Because of Rama Nama Prabhava and Ramayana Prabhava, he got a place in heaven. So he went to heaven. Naturally, all the servants in the heaven welcomed him and allotted him a 60-40 flat. Because that's a place, there will be a flat or a plot. The area was given to him, 60-40. So he was happy. And he used to live as a human being in Bombay. While living as a human being, I was in a cage type of apartment. Now at least I got independent house with 60-40 area. So he was very happy, and it is well furnished also. The house is well furnished with all garden and other thing. He was just joyfully was looking around there. Naturally, 60-40 means there will be boundary also. So wall will be there. Wall will be there. There will be curiosity. Who is there in other side of the wall? So with all curiosity, he just peeped inside that wall and he saw an individual whom he did not like at all. And that individual who is, you know, Fat Fat Wala. In those days, there was an auto rickshaw. Cycle turned into auto rickshaw. That is called Fat Fat, they call it. Once they start that, it will give hellish sound. So whenever this Ramayana Pandit is to start Ramayana, this Fat Fat Wala is the neighbor. So he has to go to his job. So naturally he will start his auto rickshaw. So Fat 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 like that, it will give hellish sound and it will be a disturbance. Therefore, because of that disturbance, they used to have quarrel always. And he found that same fellow is my neighbor here also. So he got angry and went to Indra. Went to Indra and asked, "What, Indra Devata? We heard from the Veda that you are Dharma Swarupa. You act always according to Dharma. But now I find that it is Adharma." Then Indra Devata asked, "What happened, Brahmanji?" So he was a Brahmin Pandit. "So what happened? Please tell. Panditji, please tell." Then he explained like this. Then Indra told, "It is true, we always go by dharma only, punya karma only. How can you say my flat is 60-40 and his flat is 80-60? Double. It is having more garden and other beauty also. How can you say that his punya is greater than my punya?" Then our Indra told, "Panditji, when you used to chant Ramayana, when you used to do Ramayana Pravachana, who are all your audience? All old fellows having trouble in the house, come and sit. And that too, they used to sleep. You were the instrument in remembering the Lord. We accept. Because of Ramayana Prabhava, you got Punyam. Therefore only you got here 60-40 flat. Whereas that Fat Fat Wala, every moment of his duty, remembered the Lord." Then Panditji asked, "How can it be? He is to drive only, Fat Fat only." So what happened? Whenever he goes into the road, because of the sound, all people, "Bachkaya Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, Bachkaya, hey Bhagavan, Bachkaya, oh Lord, save us, save us." They remember the Lord because of fear of this Fat Fat vehicle, auto rickshaw. So Indra told, because of that punya karma, every moment everybody remembered the Lord. So he got one bank account, so his savings were doubled like that. He told, "There will be taratamyam." So nobody can object this argument of the Upanishad. Therefore, karma phalam can never be moksha. That should be put in our mind always. If at all we are asked to do any spiritual practice, it is not at all for gaining moksha. Moksha can never be gained, need not be gained. If it is gained, it will go away. That's the logic. If moksha should be permanent with us always, it should not be gained. It need not be gained. It is our swarupam. Then why all these spiritual practices? To understand this, that it is my swarupam. To have this knowledge that I am already free. I am already infinite entity. I need not become infinite. I cannot become infinite. If I am finite in reality, I cannot become infinite. Because finite can never become infinite. So to understand, to have this knowledge, a person should qualify his mind for the sake of qualification only all these spiritual practices. So Acharya says karma yoga leads to chitta shuddhi, then guru prapti, then once guru comes in our life, naturally jnanam happens, then moksha is inevitable. Moksha, which is in the form of that I am not at all in bondage, I am ever free. If you don't have this Upanishadic background, you will have lot of misconception about the importance of or about the role of karma yoga. So that is why the four path theory, five path theory, for restless people karma yoga, for intellectuals jnana yoga, for emotional bhakti yoga, for crying people sentimental people bhakti yoga, for good for nothing hatha yoga or raja yoga. Because raja yogi doesn't stay in the society, so he is a dropped out case or good for nothing case. So all these arguments are there in the widely published literatures. So we should understand properly, karma yoga is a must. For what? Not for gaining moksha, but for gaining chitta shuddhi, purity of mind. Because everything depends upon that pure mind only. Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna says, pure mind and atma is same. Because in mind also, there is a reflection of the atma, but it is covered by various type of desires, various type of thoughts. So therefore, we should understand properly when Bhagavan says, yuktaha naishtikim shantim apnoti, when Bhagavan says, kramena naishtikim shantihi. Initially, by relative tyagaha, he attains relative shantihi, apekshika shantihi. Finally, he attains by jnanam, kartrutva, buddhi tyagena, naishtikim shantim apnoti. This is the benefit of karma yoga and this is the condition of karma yogi. Whereas, ayuktaha kamakarena phale saktaha nivadhyate. A karmi, a worldly minded person who is ayuktaha. Yuktaha means what? Integrated person. Integrated with what? Integrated with his own body mind complex. But a worldly man is never integrated one. One part of mind will tell, I want this, another part of mind will tell, I cannot have it. One part of mind will tell that I should perform this, another part of mind will tell that it is not for me. So ayuktaha nibadhyate, a worldly person is always in the samsara. He is already in samsara, he continues to be in the samsara because of what? Kamakarene phale saktaha san. Because of extreme desires for worldly results, he is bound more and more. A worldly person being attached to external results, worldly results, he is not aware of laws of karma. What are all the laws of karma? In the third chapter and in the final portion of the second chapter, Bhagavan explained. One law is, every individual has a capacity to perform an action, but he doesn't have the capacity to command the result, desired result for that action. There are innumerable hidden variables, they call it, innumerable hidden factors which causes the result. For an example, a farmer is there, he sows seed. He has full capacity, full knowledge about what type of seed he is going to sow and how to plow the land, how to keep it prepared to sow the seeds. All those things he can make it. But once so, he doesn't have any command over the result. In between, there will not be rain also. Even if water source is there, lot of possibilities of plants being destroyed by worms and insects. And even if the result comes, there will be a broker who will snatch away all the profits. So, any action, for any action he can be a contributor, but it can never be a determining factor. So many hidden factors are there to determine the result of that action. They call it in Western language, you cannot call all the shots of life. In any game, will you be given opportunity to have all the shots? You cannot have it. Similarly, all desires cannot be fulfilled even though you have plenty of desires. That should be understood. This understanding is not there in the mind of a worldly man. That is the reason he has a lot of expectation. Then when desired result doesn't come, he gets sorrow. And before acting also, he is anxious. Before action, anxiety. After action, either guilt or depression or dejection. And another law is, any action will have result, and that result can be either desired or undesired. Just because I don't want undesired, that doesn't guarantee that it will not come to me. And results are determined by karma phala dhata. There is an Ishvara who connects all these factors and produces the results, and he is never unjust. His justice is always correct. I may not be aware of what are the reason for this undesired result, but I deserve that undesired result. Due to intense desire for favorable or desired results only, the worldly person, karmi, is not ready to accept failures. When undesired results come, he resists. He says, why for me? As though he is the only person who suffers in the world, he comes and says to the Lord, Lord, do you know like this happened? As though Bhagavan doesn't know. Through him only it has come. Courier service is through him only. And that courier service doesn't have any address problem also. In whatever farm you are, in whatever house you are, it reaches your house. And he comes and complains to Lord or to sadhus because absence of this understanding, because of the absence of this understanding of the law. Any law you don't understand, any law you forget, you will suffer. That is the idea. So this resistance brings out anxiety, frustration, hatred, jealousy, guilt, depression, so many types of forms of dukkha. Therefore, nibadhyate nischayena badhyate. Already is in bondage, so he will be more and more in bondage. Nitaram badhyate, always he will be in bondage. Therefore, Arjuna, be a karma yogi. First step is what? Be a karma yogi rather than being a karmi, worldly person. Not that you should not have desire for good results. You have the right to have a desire because it is a privilege of human mind. Animals cannot have desire. Cow cannot ask, honey, can we go for today marketing? Or weekend shopping? Or good dinner? But human being can have. It's a privilege. But that desire should be within the limitations of dharma. The person should see that whether it is within my limitations, whether my swadharma accepts or not. If he is a brahmana, he cannot marry second time, but if he is a kshatriya, he can marry second time. So if he is a Islamic person, he can marry four times. So that is a dharma. So within the dharma, my desire should be there. And if it is not within the dharma, either society will take care of you or the law will take care of you. Even if you bluff both of these two, Bhagavan will or karma niyati will take care of us. That is why even when we don't desire for dukkham, dukkham comes to us. Why dukkham should come? Nobody desires for dukkham. Why it comes? Why it comes? Our Veda says, you deserved, you worked for it, you desired indirectly for it, therefore it comes. No, no, I don't remember at all. Not remembering is not the criterion that you did not do that. You have done it, but you forgot it. Since you have done, it is given to you. So therefore, it should be within the framework of dharma, not according to the whims and fancies. Generally, a normal person's actions are determined by whims and fancies. You ask anybody why you do that, he will tell, I like it, so therefore I do it. Very wrong statement it is. It is proper, therefore I do it. It should be done, therefore I do it. That must be the answer. But generally, normal mind says, I like it, so I do it. So go to youths. You ask, why you go for all the pubs and other things? I like it. It's my freedom. Why you smoke? I like it. So a life according to whims and fancies is called animalistic life. A life according to dharma is called karma yoga life. Because Bhagavan will be the center of our life. Bhagavan, who is in the form of very dharma itself. Dharma also is the manifestation of Bhagavan only. Even though I don't worship any theistic god, still if I adhere to the dharma, still I can grow in spiritual life. So our religion, our Vedic religion, never bothers about what type of god you worship. What is your understanding of God? It doesn't bother. Whether you understand him as Shiva or Vishnu or Muruga or whatever it may be, or Devi, or even Allah or Christ, whatever it may be, whether your life is according to dharma or not. Other religions are not like that. You accept one particular form as the top one and see it is reserved. Reserved where? Somewhere else. And they claim it as moksha also. Going to any place by a particular process can never be moksha. So Arjuna, be a karma yogi rather than being a karmi, because karmi will be always suffering. Every moment of his life will be a suffering. Before gaining something what he wanted, he will have anxiety, whether will I get. Then after gaining, he will have an anxiety, can I retain it. And when it goes away, then also he will have sorrow, it has gone. So our Acharya Swamiji used to say, it is like purchasing a cool drink and drinking it with a straw. A stingy fellow who wanted to taste what is the meaning of this Coca-Cola or something, thumbs up. But he is a stingy man. Somehow or the other, he convinced his mind that one day at least I should have the experience of having this carbonated water. So he purchased it and straw was given to him. So one sip, he sipped, very good experience, really it is a very good experience, and he was happy. Then with that happy attitude, he saw the bottle, quarter bottle gone. Reduce. So I should not haste in drinking it, slowly only I should drink. Without drinking also you cannot repeat that experience. And if you repeat that experience, the thing which you have as a source of your pleasure is getting down, getting emptied. So that will be, what type of mind it will be? Neither he can enjoy that experience of having cool drinks, nor he can avoid it also. So that will be the condition of all worldly achievements. Therefore, bring the Lord as the center of our life. That is the teaching. More Bhagavan will explain, we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.